Good morning, everyone. Nice to see a little bit fuller in here this morning. Just wanted to remind folks from this service, like we did last Sunday, we're experimenting with adding up to 25 extra at your off week. So I know some from the end of the alphabet called, and we have about 23 folks who were from last Sunday who called in and said, yes, we'd like to come this Sunday too. So that seems to be working very well. So, you know, continue that. I know this is supposed to be, I think, a surprise for Pastor Olander's retirement. And there's a note in your bulletin or in the Zion's Light about Pastor Olander's retirement. But there has been a bit of a spike in cases in New Holland. So they're only going to do the card shower. So they're not going to, they were going to have a, you know, a drive-by, a parade, kind of, you know, wave at Pastor and congratulate him. They're not going to have that as far as I know. And so if you'd like to send a card to Pastor Olander for his retirement, there is an address in the Zion's Light. And then just for my part right now, I'd like to thank folks and remind everyone who's patiently working with our elders and patiently working with our school board as we try and navigate all of this. It's nice. Well, this is just definitely the time when we're putting the best construction on everything and realizing that all the volunteers, whether it's or waitresses or people who own restaurants, they're doing their best to follow state regulations. They're not the ones to be chewed on or hollered at. If you have a feeling one way or the other, vote. That's about the best I can say. Research which political candidate at state and federal level matches up with your convictions and vote, because all of us on school boards and boards of elders and every church and every school and all of that, just trying to do their best to follow state regulations. So I really appreciate all the patience everyone at Zion is showing in that regard, in that respect. So keep bearing with and bearing up those who are working during the pandemic. And on that note, let's turn to our first opening hymn. There's a redundancy. First opening hymn. Like there's three opening hymns. Let's do our opening hymn, Beautiful Savior.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the September 13th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. Our pianist is Eleanor Gunderman. The opening hymn is number 537, Beautiful Savior. Hymn number 537 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Robert and Patty Clem are sponsoring both the radio broadcast and the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in celebration and thanksgiving to God for their 45th wedding anniversary today.
Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with the responsive psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of Genesis, 50th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him. "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." And thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the second petition?
Thy kingdom come.
What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 14th chapter, beginning at the first verse. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in the honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment against your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 851, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, hymn number 851 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text for this morning comes around and in our Old Testament reading of Joseph's brothers being fearful that Joseph is going to exact revenge on them for his sin, for their sin against him. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've had dreams. And not dreams as in aspirations or anything like that, but real, regular, while asleep dreams. Well, maybe you've had those kinds of dreams. Now, I'm not talking about the funny dreams. I'm not talking about the dreams that you have when you're a kid of the monsters are chasing you through the house and you're looking for your parents and just as you run up the stairs from the basement, you look out the door and you see your parents backing out the driveway, and as your parents are backing out the driveway, the monsters are coming up. They're not those dreams either, no, not those dreams. Not even the ones where you're falling in your sleep and you're convinced in your sleep that if you hit the ground before you wake up, you're going to die. Not that kind of dream either. No, I mean real, terrifying dreams. In these dreams, you don't even know you're dreaming. They're as real can be. You don't know what's going on. But in these dreams, you're like you're in prison for vehicular homicide because you reached for a potato chip in the work zone and you killed a worker. And you know you're going to jail and you're going to be punished for a very long time. And you know that prison isn't the place for you and you're not going to fare well in prison. It's absolutely terrifying to find yourself in such a place. Right? In these dreams, you find yourself praying that it's a nightmare, but you never wake up from the nightmare. And these dreams are dreams where you've done something to ruin your name and ruin your family's name. And these are the type of dreams where in your dream, you've lost your insurance, you've lost your job, you've lost your house, you've done something to lose it all, and you can only wish you'd never done that thing, and you're praying in your dream that you can go back in time and not do it, or tell yourself to undo it, find a way to change it. And then you wake up and your heart is pounding and your sleep shirt is soaked with sweat and it's stuck to you, and you're so glad that you realize that it's just a dream. And all you can do is lay there in the dark and stare at the blackness of the ceiling, and through the fear has yet to leave you, you just thank God that that was only a dream. You see, I think often sin and forgiveness is like that. Sin and the fear that comes along with sin, at least once that sin grabs hold of you and the law takes effect, we see it as a horrible and almost incurable evil that it is. And it accuses our consciences. That's what it does. And you wish you could undo it, but you can't undo it. And then there's forgiveness. The waking up reminds us of the relief of forgiveness through the absolution that consoles us. Right? When we receive the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins, that's like waking up from that horrible, terrible, awful dream. And even though sin and conscience continues to accuse us, just like our racing heart and our sweaty body when we wake up from that dream, we know that it's over. It's completely and totally over. Now remember Joseph's brothers who sold Joseph into slavery. And they reconciled, you know, the whole account of Joseph and his brothers. And now their dad, Jacob, has died. And what are the brothers? See, this is what sin is like. Like, they had been forgiven by Joseph. And for 17 years, they lived in Egypt under Joseph's blessing and Joseph's care. But now Jacob had died. And what are the brothers afraid of? Joseph is such a powerful man. They're terrified that he was just waiting until he wouldn't hurt his father's feelings. But he's ready to cream his brothers. That's the feelings that they're having
right now. And they must have been scared. How terrible, because they could remember the lies they told their dad, the evil intent they had in their heart, the jealousy of Joseph that they had. Right? And what was it like to go and have that remembrance that they looked right at their dad and lied right to his face and said, "Nope, he got taken by wolves. He's dead. Look, here's the bloody cloak." What must have felt like when those lies were peeled away and they had to confess even to their dad that for all those years they knew their brother was alive, but they had lied to their father. That must have been horrible and awful and terrible. All the time, every day, it comes back and it comes back and it comes back. And now we have our text for today, like here in Genesis 50. 17 years they had lived under the gracious brotherly love of Joseph. Now they were afraid of Joseph yet again. And I bet they wished they could go back in time and change what they had done. Now their father is dead. And they think Joseph's biding his time. But what's Joseph's answer when they tell him to be merciful? "Dad said be merciful." Joseph's answer, "Am I in the place of God? You have been forgiven. I hold those sins against you no more. You are forgiven." He says, "I'm God's servant. God has forgiven you. How can I act contrary to God's will? If God has pardoned you, then have a good conscience on account of God's pardon and God's forgiveness. And don't," says Joseph, "have any doubts on account of me." Forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a mighty thing, and it has to be mighty. It has to be very, very powerful. For sin and the terrors of sin are very tenacious, and they don't want to let us go. Now, understand. Okay, and some of this is an age thing. Make that kind of clear. You know, if you're junior high or a high schooler or a teen or in your early 20s, there are things that are presented to you that don't seem like they're going to alter the course of your life. But they will. Sin is like that. At first it seems like it's no big deal. And it grabs you. And it holds on to you. And it's like a dog shaking a rabbit. And it just won't let go. And you will battle that the rest of your life. It's pretty brutal. Those of us who are older, when we talk about these things to you, we want to spare you those pains and spare you those feelings. We want to spare you of what Joseph and his brothers went through. Because we have felt them. And we're giving warning now. Don't do this. So listen to your parents when they admonish you and when they warn you. Listen to your grandparents when they speak to you. Because understand, sin is easy in the beginning. No, like, take an addict. No addict starts out in the beginning putting a syringe of heroin into their neck or in between their toes. That's not how that starts. They just don't wake up one day and say, I think I'll stick the syringe of heroin in my neck. No, it doesn't start like that, right? It started long ago. And I know you and I mean, I just wish there were lightning bolts flying from heaven at every small sin to warn us the danger that is before us. And God doesn't do that. We wish that God would rule with an immediate wrath, and it's not so. The addict who lies wasting away didn't begin with a needle in the neck, but with a hit of pot or with pills stolen from the medicine cabinet. That's how it begins. It begins with a little thing and begins to build and build and build. And then comes the descent into a hellish addiction as your body cries out for you to stop. But those cries to stop are ignored and ignored yet again. And pretty soon the addiction has the person. And that person finds themselves wishing they could go back in time. They could stop. They could change things. They wish that their life was a dream. the very moment they're selling their body for drugs. That's how sin works. The same for a person consumed with sexual sins. At first, there is little to no penalty for promiscuity. And it all seems well and fine, and the law does not bite. Then come the mental and emotional pains of behaviors. This is why we tell them, don't live with somebody before they're married. Don't do that. Wait. 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 Don't put yourself in positions where you have the opportunity to do those sins. Because when you come together, you're in the process of building the one flesh union. And when you separate, that one flesh union gets ripped apart again. That's why it hurts so bad. Not to mention all the other things that can go along with that, that are contrary to the will of God and the laws of nature. And then come the ravages of the body of STDs. And the doctor looks at a person and says, look, there's no cure for this. It's never going to go away. And then the conscience is awakened, and the law of God bites. And the soul that has gone astray cries out with words that have long lain unused. And they're half remembered. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. There are times. There are going to be times, maybe for some of you, maybe for many of us, when all we are going to be able to do for a loved one consumed with their addiction or running from their family is pray for them and continue to pray for them. Pray that they will have time to come back to repentance. Pray that they will have time to return to the faith. You may have to wait until their lives fall to pieces, but be ready to pick up the pieces with them. Now please remember that there is no cataloging of every sin in a sermon. Remember that a little sin is damnable and so is a big one. And if the endurance in sin is damnable, so casual sin is damnable. Remember, sin is a horrible evil. And when it is first committed, it may give pleasure and satisfaction in a strange way. But when it has been awakened through your conscience and through the law of God, it is hell itself and far more powerful than anything on earth and anything that we can throw at it, with the result that grace can't be apprehended except with great toil and labor on our part. Then we must turn to faith, for faith believes, faith trusts, regardless of what it sees around it. When every bit of our body screams out, shame, the cross says you are forgiven. We may not feel it, we may find it hard to believe, but it is so. You have been forgiven of your sins. The absolution has taken hold. The heart overwhelmed by sin and the law must conclude, although I have sinned, God nevertheless sent His Son into the world to judge the world, to be the death of sin and the death of death. That is what Jesus came to do. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that is our consolation when we are burdened by our sins. Our consolation is what Christ has done for us, what Jesus has done on our behalf. And in the weight and the terrors of sin, that is where we must turn. We must turn to the cross. We must turn to our baptism. We must turn to the sacrament of the altar. We must turn to the places where God said He will be to give His gifts to us. And it may take until a sinner lies in a hospital bed. It may take an arrest or the abandonment of friends. It may be much less and it may be much greater than any of that. But no matter, when the sinner is broken, we must stand ready with the cross and bring the forgiveness and the consolation of Jesus to them. So mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, brothers and sisters, friends, we, each of us, must be prepared with the medicine of the church. For when one of the baptized is feeling the terrors of sin, no matter at what point it happens, we must all be ready with the consolation of the cross and the gift of the empty tomb. We must be ready to place the memory that our loved ones are covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness. We must have a finger prepared, a finger not to wag under the nose, but a finger ready to point them to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And no matter what point it happens, we must all be ready to offer the consolation of the cross and the empty tomb. We must have lips that are moved to speak forgiveness to those whose consciences are in turmoil because of their sin. Even and ever shall we be ready to remind the wounded of the relentless God who pursues them in the face of all rejection, in the face of all sin thrown at him, the God of love, the God who sent his very Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, the God who sent his Son to be the payment for sins, and there is not one sin ever committed that outshines the Son of God. No sin exists that can withstand confession and absolution. There is no conscience so broken that the cross of Jesus Christ cannot bind it up again, and that Easter cannot shine into it once more. If sin drives one to the depths of despair, then in those depths you'll find a Savior there. If one is pursued by the gates of hell, then turn and see that the hound of heaven pursues all the more. If your sin makes you see nothing but death and the devil, then look past those two hyenas and see that grace has become hell's predator. Forgiveness is stalking sin. In Christ, the wounded conscience has its peace. How long till one turns to the cross? Well, that, my friends, is in God's hands. But we must ever be ready with the consolation of that cross. We must ever be ready with the peace of Jesus Christ. We must ever be ready to proclaim the gospel to our friends and to our loved ones that Jesus Christ and His blood has blotted out that sin forever. We must be ready to point to the sacrament of the altar given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. So arm yourselves. Arm yourselves with Christ's forgiveness. And even if you die, yet shall you live. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now let us all rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor creatures cry out to you for grace. We pray for forgiveness. And not only do we ask that you continually pursue us with forgiveness, we beg for the faith that believes, that trusts, and has confidence in your word of forgiveness, so that we may live our lives in joy, not in fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord Jesus, you are the friend of sinners, the shepherd who seeks the lost sheep. We come to you as ones who by your grace were baptized into the name of the triune God, that we were made heirs of everlasting life, that you have blessed us with your word and sacrament. Hear us, O Christ, as we pray for those we name in our hearts before you, who seem to us far from your cross and your care. Lord, you know all things. You know how Satan works to deceive and how he would lead even the elect away if he could, using our fallen nature to make us believe that it is okay to do things our way, to trust our own judgment, to ignore your commands. Bring the wayward and erring to the judgment of your law so that they may see the condemnation of sin
and their alienation from you, the Father. Bless those lost souls with the forgiving word of the gospel, that they may return to belief in you, O Christ, and have the joy of forgiveness and the living hope of eternal life. Help us, O Christ, to be instruments in your hands to regain lost souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, giver of all good, we ask you to receive our thanksgiving and the praise of Liliana Glenn's family for Lily's successful surgery. We pray you that you would continue to see her health and well-being, that you would grant Lily full health, a joyful childhood, and bestow on her family safe travels back to home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear God, as we each approach your table bearing our own sins, both secret and seen, grant that we receive from your body and blood the highest good for our souls. May we here find refreshment and peace, and then leave your table with the grace to forgive and love, just as we have been forgiven and loved. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, you have given unto us the gift of marriage, and we raise our thanksgivings to you this day for 45 years of marriage that Robert and Patty Clem celebrate today. We ask that you would bless their lives together as you have done these 45 years. We thank you for the gifts that you have given them, and we pray you to continue to bestow upon them your gifts of love and time to cherish with one another, for the gifts of family and friends. Lord, bless them as they continue to live their lives joined together in your name. All this we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. We continue now with the offertory as found printed in our orders of service. You. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, We beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory and honor and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on the weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. To assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
This is the true blood of Christ. This is the true blood of Christ. is the true blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you.
Let us rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. Hymn number 685, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
before we depart, just a quick reminder to please take your bulletins with you, your orders of service with you, not leave them in the pew. And as many of you as possible, please continue printing them out at home and bringing them with you. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.